You have a lot to go. Okay. I hope that today we've helped solidify in your mind the importance of right thinking, having holy thoughts before the Lord, not unholy thoughts. It's not okay to continue as we have in the same sinful patterns. We must acknowledge our thoughts as sinful, pray and repent to God of those sinful thoughts, and put new habits into our thought life to help us win the victory in the battle of our mind. Most of you know how to acknowledge your sin and pray and confess and repent. So in our last session today, we're going to focus on how we can establish new habits in our thought life. Okay? So the first one is if you're struggling with discontent, we're going to learn how to be content. Okay? This is a choice you're going to have to make, that no matter what happens in your life, you're going to determine to be content. Remember, godliness with contentment is great gain. We're going to remind ourselves, okay, if you find yourself being discontent in a situation, remind yourself of these truths. God has given you everything you need. You already have it. And if you need it in the future, he's going to give it to you when you need it, okay? Every person in your life is there to make you more like Jesus, okay? And we want to think my life would be better without such and such a person. I wouldn't have so much anxiety if they were not around. No, God has put these people in your life to help make you holy. And the same is true for marriage. Don't believe the lie that marriage is to make you happy. Marriage is to make you holy, to make you more like God. And you see those irritating things in your spouse? Those are to make you more like God, to be more patient, to be more forgiving, to be more gentle, to be more kind, to be more respectful. Those are not bad things. God is using those, if you will allow it, to make you more like him. Remind yourself that God is working his good in every circumstance. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I think this is probably one of those verses that gets repeated and said an awful lot, that we can kind of forget the importance of it. It becomes so common. But just like all the bitter ingredients of a cake that are nasty by themselves, you don't want to eat the flour by itself, you don't want to eat the eggs, you don't want to eat the cocoa powder, but when you put them all together, it makes something desirable and delicious. Truly, God is making something desirable out of your life if you allow him to take those bitter things and make them better instead of being angry and discontent with the circumstances. I always like to look at ladies, other ladies, that are their examples, and learn from them. And one lady that really exemplified contentment was Corrie Ten Boom. She talked of walking naked at the concentration camp one day and how horridly humiliating that was. And she was with her sister and they were just absolutely distraught and didn't feel like they could do that. How could you bear something so horrible? And she said, and then I remembered Christ, who hung on a cross, most likely naked. And that was just one of the sufferings that he had incurred that day. And she said, I became thankful I was able to participate in the sufferings of Christ. And I walked across that courtyard, thankful that Christ had allowed me to suffer just a bit of what he had. Long before she ended up in the concentration camp, she was a young lady looking forward to getting married and, you know, spending the rest of her life and all the dreams and plans that we do as young people. And the guy that she was deeply in love with showed up at her door and said, I'm sorry, Corrie, my family does not approve of your family, and we cannot get married, and in fact, I'm getting married to somebody else. And she was crushed and obviously heartbroken. And she said she ran to her room, flung herself on her bed, crying and weeping, you know, but her life was over, all her hopes and dreams. And she said, in that moment, I remembered, no matter what God does, I have a choice right now. And I can sit and dwell on the what ifs and if only, what if I never get married? Or I can just be grateful that God has made his will clear for my life. Instead of marrying the wrong person, I can be content in Christ. I can be content alone. One time she was in the barracks with over 700 women that was designed for 200 women. So it's obviously very overcrowded, very overrun. She said it was so overrun with lice that the guards didn't want to even enter the barracks. Ultimately, that was a blessing. She became thankful for the lice because the guards left them alone. Now you say the word lice and my head starts itching. Like, it just makes my skin crawl, okay? The thought to be in a place completely overrun with lice is horrendous to me. And instead of being discontent, she became thankful. One of the sayings that she had was, look around and be distressed. You look at your circumstances and it's very distressing. And she definitely had distressing circumstances. She said, look within and be depressed. But look to Jesus and find rest. She understood contentment in Christ. It wasn't due to her wealth. It wasn't due to her health or her living situation by any stretch of the imagination. She suffered tremendously. And she knew the solution was look to Christ and you will find rest. Clearly, she had the right type of thinking. So the first thing we want to do is learn to be content. The second thing we want to do is think truthful thoughts only. Okay? Now often we understand that lying is wrong and we don't want to tell lies. However, we believe lies in our mind. And we think lies. And so we want to stop it at the core so that our mind does not think lies. Our mind only thinks truth, okay? And we're going to think truth about a couple of different areas. First of all, about God, okay? What is the truth about God? The truth is he loves you. You have no need to doubt if anyone in this world cares because God loves you. That is a truth and it never changes. He forgave you. If you have accepted him as your Savior, he has forgiven your sins, and you have no need to be overcome with guilt. No matter what has happened, you have asked Christ to forgive you. That is a truth that he has forgiven you. Okay? Remind yourself of truth. He loves you. He forgave you. He provides for you. We don't need to worry about whether or not he's going to take care of us and how we're going to pay those humongous medical bills. He will take care of them. I'm gonna wait on that. I put myself a note, wait. I told you I race, okay? So think truth about God, okay? And we're gonna think truth about ourselves. Our value is in him, not our abilities or our accomplishments, okay? We are his child. John 1:12 says, as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become his sons. That doesn't change. You are his child if you have accepted him as your Savior. We are his workmanship, okay? Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in those good works, okay? Because we are created in him, created in Christ Jesus. We are bought with a precious blood, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And spirit here is your rational spirit, the power by which a human being thinks, feels, and decides. So in your spirit, in that ability that thinks and feels and decides, glorify God. Do not leave that off. It is not just your body. It is your mind that needs to glorify God by having the right thoughts. Why? Because we are bought with his precious blood. We need to think the truth about others, okay? And this means no assuming of motives, okay? and taking up offenses that are not there. I know she's angry with me. I could tell by the look on her face. I know he did that on purpose. He knows I don't like that, right? Those are not truthful thoughts. Those are assuming things. We cannot assume motives and thoughts of others, okay? Stay focused on the truth, okay? Maybe she said she doesn't like yellow and you're wearing yellow, okay? That doesn't mean your shirt's ugly. Don't go there, okay? All right, 1 Corinthians 13:5 and 6 says, love, it doesn't think evil, it bears all things and believes all things. So don't let your mind go there in assuming things about others. And then don't be overly sensitive. I'm gonna share an example. And it's shameful that this is even a true story, I think, but. So we were having a family get together, it was actually Father's Day. And you know, you would think my family would have a lot to celebrate on Father's Day. Their dad is there and he's well. And my kids, we were all just talking. We'd gone out for ice cream, and somehow we're talking about ordering stuff online and stuff from China. And one of my girls said, well, man, if I ordered any clothes from China, it had to be like a large. Now, my girls are not really big people, okay? And my other daughter goes, you mean like an XXL large, okay? Now, it was really just a joke. But that turned into a big deal. And oh my goodness, oh, I can't believe you said that. Mom, did you hear she said that? And you need to make her apologize. And I was like, girls, it's a joke. Ladies, sometimes these things are just a joke. And we cannot live our lives so offended. It literally should have been, oh, like you're an XXL large, ha ha ha, like, and gone on about the day. Just keep eating that ice cream. Maybe not too much or you will be the XXL, okay? Maybe she got one scoop, not two, but okay. You know, it's just like, wow. We cannot function like that. We cannot be overly sensitive, okay? And if you find yourself offended a lot, and like everybody around you does things that offend you, the problem might be with you, okay? So obviously we always wanna advocate making things right, and if you have a true offense, somebody that has caused, you know, a real sin against you, you want to go and make that right. But some of these things we really should just let go and not be overly sensitive about them, okay? So think truth about God, yourself, and others, and not let our minds think things that are not true about any of those, okay? The third thing we need to do is forget the past. And we need to forget good things and bad things in this sense. The good, we're gonna set aside all of our accomplishments, all of our awards and achievements, okay? We are not riding through life on those things. Again, our value is not in those. You know, maybe you came from a really great family. That's something to be grateful for, but is not something to ride through life on, thinking well of yourself of, okay? We also have to forget the bad. And there's a lot of bad out there, okay? Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting those things which are behind you, the bad and the good, and reaching forward to those things which are before you. And if that's something you really struggle with, you know, I can't get past the past, this happened, I just can't. Quieting the noisy soul is a tremendous help if you find yourself in that situation, okay? Lots of excellent tools in there and information to help you if you're really struggling with deep, painful, hurtful issues in your past, okay? So I would encourage you to get that one. Elizabeth George says in her book, Loving God with All of Your Mind, if our thoughts are not in line with what the Bible teaches, we are thinking lies. And those untrue thoughts will feed our fantasies and our fears. Most women wouldn't say they fantasize. That's a man thing, right? But we do fantasize. We do meditate. They just are on fear and worry and discontent. And we don't want to feed those fantasies. We want to think truth. This is very, very important to put truth into your mind so that you think truth about God, yourself, and others in order to defeat these sinful thoughts. If you are struggling with the negatives, the bad things that have happened in your past, I encourage you to list them out, write them down, and then acknowledge God in those things. Oftentimes we feel like we were all alone or God had forsaken you in those times, but I promise you he did not. To look for God in them and then to thank God for what he taught you in those negative circumstances. Something my mom always said to us growing up, whenever, you know, like something bad or unfair would happen and we would come to her, oh, so-and-so did this, or, you know, and she would say, well, now you know how not to be. You know, you can learn from anything, and you can learn from the negatives in your life, and you ought to learn from the negative things in your life. Do not just hide them and cover them up. List them out, acknowledge God in them, and then learn from them. The fourth thing you want to do is get in God's word and pray. You absolutely will not change without this step, okay? We can talk about this all day long, but if you do not put this into practice, nothing will change. There are lots of great Bible study programs available. Lots of books. You can do 6-week studies, you know, helps on different subjects or different books. Lots of those. The Wilds puts out a bunch of those. There's no lack of Bible study books. It's a lack of us doing the Bible study books, okay? By far, the best one I've ever done is Mama's Refill. And the great thing about it is there's a plethora of topics. There's from straight Bible study books. I've currently done the James. I'm about to end James 5, gone through the whole book of James. And that was excellent study. I've done one on diligence. I did the trusting God in difficult times. And there's for starters to advanced. Like, there's different levels. There's just something for everybody. Very, very good. And for, you know, one price of like $44, you can get a whole year's worth. Now, pretty much any one of those books you buy is going to be $10 to $15. And generally, they're about 6 weeks long. So Mama's Refill really is even an economical choice if you, you know, find that that's a difficulty. Oh, I don't have the money. It's really, and it even goes on sale every now and then, so it's not that bad. And it's well worth it. I have enjoyed mine. When I first started, I'm not an artist, okay? And there can be a lot of drawing in Mama's Refill. And when I first started and it came to a drawing day, I was like, oh, this is so painful. Like, I'm so bad at it, okay? Let's just go to the next day, you know, I'll read my portion. And then it was like, wow, that really helped me remember that. Okay, it's ugly, but it's my Bible. Nobody else sees it, so. And then I was like, look, Jeremy, look at this. See, that's Rahab. I know it doesn't really look like it, but it is, okay? And, oh, that's a campfire, okay? That's my tongue, a little fire, and all these things. And it's been so good. Really an excellent study. So that's by far my first recommendation, is to get to Mama's Refill and do that. Maybe you say, I have, you know, 5 or 6 young children in the home and getting quiet time is extremely difficult. I understand that. I have been there. There are a lot of other options for you too. Please don't think that stage of life just means you're too busy and you can't get it, because you need it. Your children need for you to fill yourself with God's word. You can turn your phone on and just listen. You know, put an earbud in and go about. Just use one earbud. You can hear the other screaming and put those out as it goes. But you've got to get God's word into your mind. You can listen to sermons. You can listen. Gateway Bible just will read scripture out loud to you. And it's kind of dramatic, so I like to listen to that. Rather than just a monotone voice, it reads it in a really dramatic way. I really like that app. The Blue Letter Bible is one that Mama's Refill will refer you to almost every single day. Really great information for extra study and even like some sermons and stuff on there. So whatever situation you find yourself in, find a Bible study that works for you with your schedule, with your stage of life. Maybe you're, you know, in the empty nest stage and you can get up at 8 o'clock and you can have your coffee and do Bible till 10. That's fantastic. That is truly a gift. Do that. And do that and share it with somebody else. Don't keep that to yourself. Use that time to help fill up somebody else, someone who doesn't have that kind of time, who needs it. Fill yourself with truth with the goal to share that with somebody else. So get in God's word and pray. Psalms 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You will not know those things if you do not spend time daily in the Word. So I encourage you to do that. And then the fifth step in changing, we're going to talk about lament. And this is for if you find yourself in that deep, painful circumstance. Okay? And learning what biblical lament is, and what it is not. I'm going to read Psalm 77. I thought I stuck a card in here. Yeah. 77, verses 7 through 15, okay? And the psalmist says, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. This psalm is from a man who is experiencing deep suffering. And he starts out, you know, has God forgotten to be gracious? You know, has he cast me off? Am I alone and forgotten here? And then it turns and he says, I will remember the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. He reminds himself of who God is and what God has done, how God redeemed all of Israel, and that no matter what circumstance, what deep pain he felt in, he spoke truth to himself, and it changed his thoughts. He went from jealous and anger and discontent to love, gratitude, hope, and satisfaction. That is lament. It is not an angry fist at God. Why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. It is a broken heart that pours out sorrow and pain to a God who is compassionate and cares. Lament talks to God intentionally. Don't give God the silent treatment. That is far worse. We need to take our pain to God. We need to bear our souls before him. He already knows what we're thinking and feeling. We're the ones who benefit by pouring out those needs before him. So talk to God, seek God intentionally. Lament is different from anger in that it's fueled by faith. Faith because it believes that only God can change the situation. Lament does not blame or accuse. Prayer that is full of lament is a prayer that is gospel-centered. It is not focused on the removal of the pain or the circumstances. It is focused on asking God to help you learn more about Him and be like Him through the painful circumstances. We're to bring our questions and complaints to God, not to others. Psalm 77, in the same chapter, in verse 3, he says, "I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed." But he took all of that pain directly to God instead of going around complaining how he thought life was unfair. He directed everything to God. In your deep pain, learn to trust God completely. Rest in His promises, pray boldly, and praise generously. Praise goes a long ways in changing our attitude. List out the things that God has done for you, that you are grateful for. And real quickly, we're going to look at two ladies in the Bible who found themselves in difficult circumstances and responded in amazing ways. Okay, first of all was Mary. Clearly, she found herself in a difficult circumstance when the angel appeared to her and told her she was going to have a son. She's not married. This decision, this moment, is going to change her entire future. It's going to affect the relationship with her husband, the relationship with any other future children the Lord would give her, because now their sibling is the Son of God. It's going to affect her relationship with her parents. How is she going to tell them what's going on? All of the community around them, who's going to believe her? She really is in a very distressing moment. And in that moment, she describes herself as the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid in Bible times was one who literally stood close to their master's wife and just waited for even a hand signal, like, come here, or go away, or, you know, not only waited for every word to be obedient, but even a hand signal she was waiting for. And that's how Mary describes herself. I'm a handmaid of the Lord. I'm literally waiting for just the smallest signal from you, and I will be obedient. to something that was going to change the rest of her life, no doubt. And for the most part, it was going to come back with negative repercussions on her. she willingly accepted God's choice for her future, even though she knew it would be painful. Her first and immediate response to this difficulty was Old Testament verses of praise to God. What a wonderful response to such a situation. Out of her heart just flows praise. And it's scripture, ladies. Scripture, verses from the Old Testament are what come out of her. She had no choice in giving birth to God's son, but she had full choice in her attitude and conduct of how this decision that was made by God but would affect the rest of her life. Rahab, she was another lady who knew how God had provided, and she had come to understand that He was the one true God. So imagine if you're Rahab and your whole country is at unsettled and unrest, okay? There, you know the Israelite army is out there, and you've heard rumblings that they defeated all these other countries, and you realize it's because they have the one true God. All these gods that we have, that we are begging for help, aren't really helping us, and that this nation is going to come in and take over us and most likely kill us. And as if that weren't bad enough, now the spies are at my front door. So now what am I going to do? Well, that's certainly not a circumstance I would like to find myself in. But she immediately goes into action, and I'm amazed at her clarity and decisive actions at a time that most women would be falling apart, okay? All this is going on, and now she has spies at her door. And it's only a matter of time before somebody finds out, right? So she quickly goes into action to hide the spies. But she doesn't want to just hide them. She's clear enough thought that she wants to make sure her family's covered. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take care of you. But you make sure you protect me and my family when the time comes. And then, as They're speaking, behold, someone's at the door, and it's the soldiers. Now, as if she wasn't already stressed, now she literally has people at her door. If they find out who's hiding in her house, she's going to die, okay? And immediately, oh, go on, I think you can catch them. You know, I think if you go fast enough, they probably went that way, you know? Instead of just being a complete and total wreck, she has clarity of mind. She understands who God is, that the one true God has brought these men, and that their protection comes from God, and that she has sent the soldiers on, and she has protected her family. Now, that's an awful lot to accomplish in a short amount of time, and I'm always trying to accomplish a lot in a short amount of time. But our minds are often muddled, and we can't even think straight in circumstances like that. And Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace." And it was that last phrase that I never, ever realized there, with peace. With all of this going on, Rahab was at peace. She wasn't completely strung out. She had peace because she believed in the one true God. And she had not even been told about him her whole life, okay? This was foreign to her. Yet she had seen God's act, God's provision, how he had taken care of the Israelites, and had recognized God for who he was. Because of that, she acted and she had peace in her heart. And in that particular verse, peace speaks specifically about the ability to be exempt from rage or havoc of war. Just interesting, because that's exactly what her country was in. It's the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with the earthly lot, whatever sort that is. Now that sounds like a wonderful state of being, to be at peace, to be content, whatever sort of earthly lot we are in. And ladies, we can have that peace. Jesus said in John 14, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." It's different. What Christ has to offer, it is not the same thing as the unbelievers around you. But it's not enough to come today and to hear all these things. No, that was nice. Herbert's really had a hard time. That's not what this is about. It's about hearing God's word and leaving determined to be different. Recognizing sinful thoughts in our life, and asking the Lord to forgive us of those sinful thoughts and to change them into holy thoughts that please him. We cannot just be hearers of the word. We must be doers, according to James 1:22. So I want to challenge you today as you leave to determine to be a doer of his word, not just a hearer only. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every one of these ladies who came. Lord, they all bring different life circumstances with them. Some of them have suffered far greater than I could even imagine. God, I thank you for what they have to teach and share with us. And I ask that you give them strength and the courage to do that, that they would get in the word, they would learn from you, that they would have your peace that passes all understanding. They would think truth about you, about who you are and what you've already done for them. And remember your promises that you will never leave us and never forsake us, no matter what we go through, no matter what our past is, and that you love us more than we could even imagine. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that's new every morning, and that we can be partakers with your suffering. Help us to count it all joy. Help us to patiently endure when the trials of life come. They will come. Help us to be ready and grounded in your word, staying close to you, drawing from the truths you've given us, and not taking those for granted, not forsaking the truth, but clinging to the truth and growing closer to you as a result. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.